In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, our text is going to be verse 21 this morning, but let me read from verse 16 through verse 23, and I want to preach a message this morning titled Rock and Roll Music. And we're going to deal with the history of it briefly, and then the danger of rock and roll music, and then the freedom from it. Now, we have several sermons in the last 8 or 9 years dealing with sacred music, psalm singing, congregational singing, new song, a cappella singing, classical music, the Beatles, CCM music, Southern gospel, Beethoven, country music. Even in our Duck Dynasty series, we dealt with music in that as well. And then we preached last year just a message in general on basically Christian music. And today, I want to preach a message titled Rock and Roll Music. That'll be 15 total sermons on this subject. You notice with me now as we come here to the text, by the way, we do have two articles on music. One is psalm singing and one is also just music. He says here, reading from verse 16 of God's holy word, he said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the privilege again that you've given us to assemble together in thy house with thy people. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning and consider this subject of music, we ask for your guidance, your leading. And the Lord, even teach us from thy word, and that we might be able to help others who are caught up in this type of music. And Lord, we just pray now your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Holy Scripture, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, the devil has something for everyone. And when we talk about rock and roll music, we are talking about the devil's music. And the question is not to be asked what's wrong with it. The question to be asked is what is right with it. That's the question that must be asked. And some of you that have been raised in Christian home, you've not had the exposure to this, but many of us were not raised in a Christian home. I was born and raised totally and completely on rock and roll music. And I was influenced by it. It affected my thinking, my behavior, my actions, my attitude. I told someone yesterday, and I told someone this Friday as well, I said the only religious training I had growing up was from Creedence Clearwater Revival. And if you've not ever heard that name, that's not a religious group. Well, we know that as we, and verse 21 is going to be our foundation this morning to begin. He says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." And music is very popular. Rock and roll music is popular. It's here to stay. It is not going away. The young and old alike enjoy rock and roll music today. Everywhere you turn, there's rock and roll music. It doesn't matter where it's the television, the radio, commercials. You can go in businesses today, or you could watch movies. You could go in a restaurant. You can go into a department store, shopping malls, ballparks. Anywhere that you can go today, you will be exposed to rock and roll music. And it is in the churches. We got a message titled Contemporary Christian Music is in the Churches. They call it Christian rock, and there's no such thing as Christian rock. That'd be like saying a Christian sodomite. There's no such thing. Even the talk shows today, even the conservative talk shows from Rush Limbaugh to whoever, we could list off many. They all have intros and going in and coming out. All of them have rock and roll music. Now, rock and roll music is bad. It's hypnotic, it's addictive, it's sensual, and it is also satanic. Now, in 1 hour of preaching, I'm going to pick and choose my quotes. I literally have probably at least 300 plus quotes of the artists themselves and what they tell you about their own music, even those that produce the music, those that sing the music and whatever. They're more honest than some Christians are when it comes to the subject of rock and roll music. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again, is that when you study music, there's three things that you need to consider. Number one, you need to consider the musician or the composer, and that is their belief system and their lifestyle. You need to look at the individual person. But at the same time, you need to consider the message. That is the content, the words, the doctrine, the agenda that is in that music. And the third thing that we need to consider is the music itself or the composition. And what we mean that by that is the entirety of the music, including the words, the instruments, the notes, the beat, the rhythm, and probably many other synonyms or words you could add in that. You need to consider the composition of that music. And so all of these things are important. Now, again, it doesn't matter where you turn today in America and many places around the world, you're going to find music. If you sit down and watch the movie or even a commercial or listen to the radio, you'll find that the rock and roll, not just music, but rock and roll music is in every area of people's lives today. They listen to hours and hours every day of this music. And it's in churches. It's even on conservative, even some that call themselves Christian talk shows or talk hosts, and so forth. And so this music is basically everywhere. It's even in politics. And I want to illustrate this very clearly this morning in two ways. It's in politics in the fact that we just had two major conventions this year, this summer, the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention. In the Democratic, and I'm going to use two names here, in the Democratic National Convention just a few months ago, there was a woman, and she's very popular today. Her name's Katy Perry. And she performed the song Rise and Roar at the 2016 DNC. And she supports the nominee for the Democratic Party this year. And she's traveled with her on her campaign and sang for her. This woman is an occultist. She's a blasphemer of Jesus Christ. She is immoral. She promotes sodomy. One of her songs is titled I Kissed a Girl. And she said that she sold her soul to the devil. So it doesn't matter where you go now, you're going to find this even in the political arena. Now, the reason I say this, I know that there's many in the Democratic side that do not profess Christ as Savior. But I believe that if I were running for office, whether it be local or national or statewide, I believe that if I entered the stage, I believe that... And having genuine faith in Jesus Christ, if I was going to have a song played, I'd probably use Amazing Grace, Come Thou Fount, or Victory in Jesus, or Washed in the Blood. Even my radio program this morning, we have Amazing Grace sung a cappella, very beautiful. We have the intro and conclusion of that. Well, let's come to the RNC, the Republican National Convention, Queen. That is a rock group. The leader died in 1991 from AIDS, as about 45 years of age. But Queen, the song was played as the nominee for the Republican president. As he came out with smoke coming up and lights and all the stuff, as he walked out on the stage and the platform, the song from Queen, We Are the Champions, was played as the Republican nominee stepped out as he entered the stage. Then again, this is the RNC 2016. And that is confusing to me. You talk about Christ, we talk about loving the Lord, we talk about loving our country and loving people and those kind of things, and we have this kind of music. Now, Queen, this song, We Are the Champions, all of you have heard it. I know you've heard it. If you're in any department store, you're going to hear all these songs. You may not know the names of the artists, but I guarantee you, every song I can mention this morning, you've heard it somewhere if you didn't listen to it before you got saved. But this song, We Are the Champions, this song is an unofficial anthem of the homosexual liberation movement. And Queen music is idolized today by homosexual community with such hits as Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy. Lead singer Freddie Mercury, he died in 1991 of AIDS at 45 years of age. He was a sodomite. He was a pervert. He was involved in a false ancient religion that was started in 600 B.C., and he said, we want to shock and be outrageous. He wore makeup, fingernail polish. Again, Queen comes from a slang word meaning homosexual. And I'm just simply saying, no matter where you turn, politics, Democrats, Republicans, whatever, no matter where you turn, the television, the radio, Hollywood, it don't matter where you turn, people think that they have to use rock and roll music. Well, notice as we read here in these verses again, and let me just say this real quickly, just a few other quotes. I'm going to be limited on this, but I want to give some. And what I'm going to be working with this morning is going back through, I'm going to come from the history. Now, again, in 1 hour, I just got to briefly do this, hit some highlights. But the history of rock and roll music, we're talking about between 65 and 70 years now. And between the early 50s, some believe the late 40s, and that's a possibility, but we're talking about near 70 years of the history of rock and roll music, and rock and roll music is in all other types of music today, whether it be country, whether it be CCM, whatever it is, a rock and roll beat is in that music. Even Jimi Hendrix back in the 60s, he said, I can explain everything better through music. You hypnotize people. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious what we want to say. Another artist, he said, I realize that music got through to youngsters because the beat matches the natural rhythm of the body. And I've just got hundreds of quotes like this. Another writer, he said, never was there an art form directed so exclusively to children. The music business is particular only in that it caters almost exclusively to children. Then Newsweek magazine says scientists are finding that the human brain is pre-wired for music. The brain seems to be a sponge for music, and like a sponge in water, it is changed by it. And these are just some quotes by artists and secular writers and so forth. None of these are Christians. MTV, it says, we are a cultural force. People don't watch it, they live it. MTV has affected the way a whole generation thinks, talks, and buys. Now, this is secular people, lost people saying this. They go on to say the strongest appeal you can make is emotional. If you can make them forget their logic, you've got them. At MTV, we don't shoot for the 14-year-old, we own them. In other words, we don't shoot for them, we own them. And Scientific America said music has an undeniable power over mind and body. It is the most direct and mysterious way of conveying and invoking feelings. And I mean, this is secular people admitting that their music and rock and roll music, that it will control people, it'll change their life, it'll change the way they dress, the way they act, it'll change the way they think, and so forth. In other words, we see clearly that it is satanic and it is against Jesus Christ. Now, notice with me as we come here, and by the way, I had somebody tell me some years back, and I had somebody to tell me about 3 or 4 months ago, talking about rock and roll music. They said, well, I like it, And somebody has told me, well, I like Southern gospel and I like country music. And I said, well, I used to like marijuana, but that doesn't mean that I need to be smoking it today as a Christian. So there's a lot of things we may like. And I want you to understand that country music is just as hellish as rock and roll music. We got a sermon in 2011 on country music. And see, there became a divide between parents and their children, the young people, years ago, and it was through the music of rock and roll. They're all bad. One laid the foundation for the other. Well, notice as we come back here in this passage, and we find here in verse 21, he says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. In our context, he says in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. He says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Rock and roll music does quench the spirit. He said, despise not prophesying, that is the truths from the word of God. He says, prove all things, hold fast. In other words, don't turn loose of that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Rock music is evil. And then he talks about the preservation of the spirit, the soul, and the body at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 23. Well, turn with me, please, now to Ephesians chapter 2. And notice with me as we come to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, let's talk for a few moments about the history of rock and roll. And again, in one sermon, we cannot go very far with this, but just a little bit. It did not originate in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're very clear on that. Rock and roll is a sexual term or a sensual term that was coined many years ago. And it's been around, again, for about 70 years. The first electric guitar, 1948, by Fender, and that really changed the course of things as well. The first rock and roll radio station was in 1951. Now, the origin of rock and roll music, it began in the United States. Again, I'm going to round this off from the late, I usually say the 50s on, but from the late 40s to the early 50s, after World War II, America had great wealth, had half of the wealth of the world at that time, and many changes took place in our country. And from Elvis Presley to Justin Bieber and the time in which we live now, there's been many artists and there's been many different types and forms of this music. You've got soft rock, hard rock, heavy metal, punk rock, acid rock, bubblegum music, grunge and rap, and I could go on with a list of things. But the bottom line, whether it be the oldies but goodies, as they call them, and they're still very popular today and played on the radio here in Mobile, or heavy metal, it doesn't matter. All of it is an enemy of Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. Rock is, it's again, it doesn't matter what form or fashion or how mild you think it is all wicked and it was birthed out of hell. And even in February, the 7th, 1964, the Beatles arrived in America. Again, we had more changes. Elvis Presley, there were many changes. And then as you come through the history, there's been changes. Now, again, I could call off some artist names, and you may not know all of them, but if I mentioned the song, and I'm not going to do this, if I played a verse of their song or some of the melody, you would recognize the lyrics or you would recognize the melody. And we start off, and these are not in chronological order. But again, I wrote down just a few in the early days and then now. But from Elvis and Chuck Berry, many of these are very popular still today. Played on the radio in every city across our land. Fats Domino, Little Richie, these are real old, back in the 50s and 60s. Bill Haley, Buddy Holly, The Beatles, and came in the 60s. The Rolling Stones, still singing today. Their music is all over the radio. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Michael Jackson, AC/DC, Creed, Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses, Queen. Again, they were formed in the 1970s. Jimi Hendrix, I mentioned, The Doors, Fleetwood Mac, they're still singing. The Eagles still singing. The Beach Boys still singing. Metallica, I think they came about in the late 70s, early 80s. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Britney Spears we have today. Alice Cooper is still alive, believe it or not. Ozzy Osbourne, some of these wicked people. Prince died this year. David Bowie died this year. Very wicked, into the occult and sodomy. ZZ Top, they look like they're dead, but they're still singing. They've been around since the 60s. And Madonna, Elton John, Selena Gomez, Pink, Ted Nugent, he looks like he's dead too, but he's been around a long time. Katy Perry, very popular today. And I could go on with just a list, but these are just some of the names, some of them you recognize, and so forth. But when we talk about the history, the reason I go back and deal with the 50s and the 60s, my wife and I were talking about this last night, the reason I go back and deal with them and put a lot of emphasis on that, that is the foundation. If I can find the origin or the root of something, then I don't even have to question the fruit of it or the years later, because I know all it's going to do is start it out wicked and hellish, and all it's going to do over the years is just to progress and to get worse and worse. So the origin then, I'm going to say the late 40s, early 50s, and then the roots of it, and it's hard to nail this down. It's obviously rooted in sexuality and rebellion and the occult, but it is rock and roll is a blend or a mixture of ragtime and jazz of the Roaring Twenties, the honky-tonk and Western country music of the 30s and 40s, the big bands of the 30s and 40s, and the rhythm and blues that basically originated out of New Orleans and places like that. And here's the thing that you want to remember, and this is why I go back to the 50s. There's 50s stations all over this country. There's people, there's radio stations that only play what they call the oldies but goodies. You see, this thing had an effect upon this nation and changed this nation. And not that the nation was good when it happened, but it changed their nation. And here are two songs that were very popular. And if I understand it correctly, they're still the two most popular songs in the world. And they both were written in the 1970s. And the first one, the number one, is 1971 Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, which is basically singing about hell. And the second one is in 1977, and that is Hotel California by the Eagles, that is dealing with Satan and Satan worship. Now, these are two of the, were supposed to be number one and number two for years and years and years and years, and still the most popular. And these two songs are about hell and about worshiping Satan and things of that nature. And so when we consider the history of rock and roll, that laid the foundation for everything, whether it be Michael Jackson, Katy Perry, Prince, whether it be Justin Bieber or a thousand other artists today, the foundation, the beat, the rhythm, and all of that was laid down in the 50s and the 60s, and all the artists have done in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and into this century in which we live, all they have done is built upon that foundation. It's all wicked, and it was birthed out of hell. Well, notice with me in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read in verse 2, and just for time's sake, I'm going to keep moving here. But notice with me as we come to verse 2. And the reason I'm reading this verse, before we were saved and those who are lost today, it speaks of the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And notice with me as we come here. And he says here in verse 2, and you need to put 1 and 3 with it. But anyway, I just want to, for time's sake, go to verse 2. And he said, wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. Now notice this, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And Ephesians 5, I'm not going to be reading there, but in verse 6 through about verse 16 or 17, he speaks of the darkness and the wickedness, and he says, have no fellowship with them. He says, reprove them, and so forth. So we're not to have any affiliation with these kind of things. And we're talking about rock and roll music this morning, so there's not to be any affiliation with that. All right, turn with me to Colossians, and notice with me in chapter 2. Let's come to our second point, and that is the danger of rock and roll music. The danger, there are many dangers, for there is a satanic agenda in rock and roll music. And those who have brought the CCM music into their churches, they don't realize that this is a worship of Satan. There is a satanic agenda, and music is a very powerful tool, and it has been used to lead many down the road to hell. Now, notice with me as we come to Colossians, and I'll be reading in chapter 2. And notice I'm going to read from verse 6 to verse 8. And he says here in verse 6, and as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you, that means to rob you. And he said, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Notice here in this passage that we can be robbed of the things that God has given to us. We can be robbed of truth. And he says here, beware lest any man spoil you, that is to carry you away through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So there's many today that are being robbed of truth. They're being robbed of these truths that God has given to us in His Word, and it's destroying the lives of many people. Well, notice with me now as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, we're talking about the danger of rock and roll music. And again, I've got hundreds of quotes, and those who produce the music, those who sing the music, they'll say the same thing that I'm saying to you here this morning. We find that the rock and roll music, it leads to rebellion. It has led to violence and crime in many places. Sexual immorality, it even leads to death. Drug addiction, alcohol, nudity, sodomy. Sodomy is filled through the rock and roll scene. It leads to Satanism and the occult. And it has brought a sexual revolution in our country back in the 50s and 60s. It affects the way we believe, it affects the way we think, even the way we dress, and even the way we comb our hair. It affects everything about us. People can get high on music. I know this for a fact. They can get high on music, and they can be hypnotized. It can excite them in ways it can invoke spirits that you don't want to be associated with. It is anti-Christ. It is against Christianity. As a matter of fact, rock and roll music has voodoo beat. As a matter of fact, it has voodoo beat that summons spirits. One voodoo priest, he said this. He said, the rhythm is more important than words. Our God responds to rhythm above all things. Its root, and I could preach a whole message on that. And it has its roots in voodoo, the beat and the rhythm to conjure up spirits, demons, and so forth. And this is practiced in many places around the world, and it is in rock and roll music. Now I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And what I'm going to focus in on, I gave you a list of things that rock and roll produces, the danger of it. But I'm going to focus in on just four of those things briefly. One is immorality. The other one is drugs. The other one is the occult. And the other one is rebellion. Those four things I'm just going to briefly make mention of. Now I want you to listen. Some of these quotes I've given you before, some of them I have not. But let's go back to the very beginning. The king of rock and roll, as they tell us, Elvis Presley. Let's go back to the very beginning. And here's what we have with Elvis Presley. A lot of people that still idolize him today and think that he was a great man. He was a blasphemer. He was a drug addict. He was a fornicator. He was an adulterer. He was an occultist. He was self-centered and very violent. A lot of people don't know that. He sang gospel music and rock and roll music. And I'm not going to talk about his fame, but he produced millions of records and so forth. But he died August 16th, 1977, at the age of 42, in his bathroom, at Graceland. And he had 14 different drugs in his body when he died. And he had an occult book in his hand. And he had a religion. Now, he'd sing a gospel song if you wanted to hear it. But he had a religion, and the night he died, he was reading the book Sex and Psychic Energy. And he traveled with many occult books. He had many occult books in his library. And he was a fan of one of the major occultics that wrote The Voice of Silence. And he would get on stage and read from The Voice of Silence. I forgot her name, but he'd get on stage and read from that book sometimes before he would sing. These are the things a lot of people don't think about. So he was heavily involved in the occult, had a library full of occult books. He was on drugs. As a matter of fact, the night he died, 14 different drugs in his body. His doctor had prescribed 19,000 pills and vials in the last 31 and a half months of his life. That's about 5,110 pills per year that he took in his last few years of life. Come to Michael Jackson. You remember when he died? I was going to preach, and I was sitting at a McDonald's on my way down to preach at the mission, and I looked up, and you couldn't hear the television, but there's televisions all over the place, and I looked up and I seen where they were talking about, you couldn't hear it, but you knew they was talking about his death. And I don't remember, that's been a few years back, 4 or 5 years, I can't remember. But he was a fornicator, he was an occultist, he's a drug addict, he had a perverted lifestyle, he lived for the devil. Just one song, The Thriller, 14 minutes, music, video, released December the 2nd, 1983. In 2009, that was 26 years after the release, it was still the most successful music video seller at over 9 million units at the time. And some of the lyrics are this: it's close to midnight and something evil lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stopped your heart. And I'd never seen that video, and I'd done some research on it. It's quite wicked. Whenever you do see just a couple of clips of it. And so we're talking about people in the occult, in immorality. We're talking about people involved in sodomy, immorality, adultery, fornication, drugs, rebellion, and following Satan. Most of these artists are this way. Even some of the most mild ones, you'd think, well, no, they would never be involved in that. The Beach Boys. Brian Wilson himself said, we were doing witchcraft, trying to make witchcraft music. Now, you thought they only sang about beaches and hot rods and girls, okay? But they were involved in witchcraft. And he said, I think I have a spiritual influence on people. Well, he did. He said, we smoked pot and hash when originally creating those songs. That was in the late 60s. He says it helped us get into the song. He said, I had what I considered a very religious experience. I took LSD. They got a song titled Transcendental Meditation. And they also had a close connection with Charles Manson. He was even in one of them's home, and they wrote songs together and things of that nature. See, they would seem to be innocent compared to what we would listen to today, but they were of the devil, and they're still singing as well. You take the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger has said, and they're still singing and touring today. They're probably on crutches by now, but anyway, he said he felt that he represented Satan on stage, and he had a tattoo of Satan on his chest. And Keith Richard admits he is possessed with devils, and that devils wrote their songs. They got one song, Sympathy for the Devil. Their tour, when they sang that, was called the Voodoo Lounge Tour. Now, I could go through many others. Here's another artist. He died when I first moved into this area, Kurt Cobain. And he says, get stoned and worship Satan. That was what he did. He was obsessed with Anton LaVey. He was a sodomite, Pink Floyd. We could go through a list of these. The LA Times in 1988, they said, listen, rock and roll ain't church. It's a nasty business. You got to be nasty too. If you're goody-goody, you can't sing and play it. Kids don't pay to see nice. They want aggression. They want anger and some sleaze too. They want rebellion. And that is the truth. And I've got testimonies of those who have cause rights at their concerts all the way back in the 60s, all the way up until now. And people have been hurt and people have died in some of these rights. Even John Kay of Steppenwolf, an old group, has said one of the reasons we're successful is that we are able to keep the music hard and direct so that it communicates directly with the body. Another writer said the loud sounds, the bright lights of today are tremendous indoctrination tools. Little Richie, years ago, we're talking about 50s, 60s, 70s, he said, I was directed and commanded by another power, the power of darkness, the power of the devil, that is Satan. They admitted these things. And some of the more recent ones, I've got testimonies where they say, yes, I'm possessed with a spirit. Yes, I have a spirit. Yes, I have a devil. Many of the modern day people today are saying this. The Rolling Stones, again, this is quoted years ago, said rock music has always been the devil's music. I mean, these are the writers, the singers, the producers, and the record producers, whatever. The drummer for Grateful Dead, Mickey Hart, of the 60s and 70s, he wrote on this subject of drumming. He said he went to West Africa and studied drumming and said, this is the rhythm that is in rock and roll. Timothy Leary of 1960s LSD guru, he said, don't listen to the words. It is the music that has its own message. B.B. King said the women reacted with their bodies flowing to the rhythm coming out of my guitar. See, they're telling you what all this is about. It's about Satan. It's about the occult. It's about evil spirits. It's about immorality. It's about sodomy. It's about wickedness. It's about rebellion. And they're telling you what it's about. And Christians will stand up and say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You see, you got to wonder whether they're even saved or not. The Eagles, they're still today, again, the Hotel California, very, very popular. And some of their songs is like this. Take the Devil. Another one, Journey of the Sorcerer. Another one, Witchy Woman. These are the songs. And one of their songs is titled One of These Nights. And it's speaking, you've got your demons, I've got my demons also. The whole song is about that. And said, I've been searching for the daughter of the devil himself. This is the whole song. One of their songs, Good Day in Hell. And it says, in that good book of names, I want to go down in flames, seeing how I'm going down. Oh, well, it's been a good day in hell. Tomorrow I will be glory bound. Again, Hotel California, second most popular rock song of ever. It is about the Satanic Church in California in 1969, which is mentioned in the song. And here's some of the lyrics. It says, we're all prisoners here. Of her own device, and in the master's chamber, they gathered for the feast. They stabbed it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. You can check out any time you like, but you cannot leave. Satanic worship. Black Sabbath, we have the same stuff. They have an album called Born Again, with a picture of a red baby and horns that look like a devil. And I'm not even, I won't even quote some of these people. It's so bad. Metallica got a bunch of stuff on them. They're more like in the 80s and so forth, probably 90s. And they got a song, Jump Into the Fire, commands young people to jump in the fire. I have the words to that song. Elton John is a sodomite. He's an occultist. He's involved in witchcraft. And many of his songs bear this out, and people just think he's the greatest thing that ever lived. He's still alive, still singing. Finally married the guy he's living with, for many, many years. AC/DC song Highway to Hell, 1979. We're talking about back there in the beginnings of this. Sold over 1 million copies during its initial run. Has sold millions since then. Here's some of the words. Hey, Satan, paid my dues playing in a rock and roll band. I'm on a highway to hell. I mean, I probably got 500. I exaggerate when I say a few hundred. Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Hicks, professes to be a witch. And I mean, you can just go on and on. Jim Morrison, very popular of the Doors. He died at age 27. And he said about his concerts, he said, I feel spiritual up there performing. Think of us as erotic politicians. I'm interested in everything about revolt, disorder, chaos, especially activity that has no meaning. You want to know why America's a violent nation? You want to know one of the reasons we love war and we love to fight and we love to boast about our proudness and things like that? It's because of this music. That's part of it. That's not all of it, but that's part of it. Led Zeppelin began 1966 and became the new king of rock and roll by the 1970s. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, they praised the teaching of Crowley, and I always get his name wrong. I want to say Crowley. It's actually Crowley. But Jimmy Page bought his house at Loch Ness, and then later he opened up an occult bookstore, may still be there, the largest one in London. And their albums are filled with cult symbols and nudity. Their songs are saturated with Crowley's teaching. Stairway to Heaven, again, number one for, years. His most popular rock song. This song is about going to hell, about a woman, getting everything she wanted, and speaks of two different paths. And the Piper's Calling, the song mentions words that have two meaning. May Queen is a poem written by Crowley, and May Queen is mentioned in the song Stairway to Heaven. And I'm only just going over a brief few things in reference, and I'm going to talk about this man in just a moment. But we're talking about satanic, voodoo, occult, sinful, wicked stuff that will rob our hearts and minds. It robbed my mind as a young person as I was growing up and took control of my belief system, my actions, and everything else. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar verses 9, 10, 11. And again, I mentioned four things under this area of the danger. Immorality is number one. Immorality, we're talking about fornication, adultery, incest, sodomy, bestiality. All these things is involved in rock and roll. And I just gave you some quotes from some of the musicians. Even a show, Ed Sullivan's show, when Elvis Presley first started singing, I mean, he had so many body moves that excited the young girls and whatever, that when Ed Sullivan first had him on the show, he would only show him on the television from waist up. And see, the composers and whatever, and the artists and all these performers, they thought it was great when he was finally able to play on television and they see all of his movements. Wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. And you'll notice with me now here in this passage, and I'm reading this, and I'm gonna avoid going to Romans 1, but I want you to write down Romans 1, verse 24 through verse 20, we'll just say 32, where God gives them up to uncleanness. They change the truth of God into a lie, worship, serve the creature. We find the issue of immorality, adultery, fornication, and even sodomy that is mentioned here in Romans chapter 1. And then he mentions in verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is a mind void of judgment, cannot make right decisions or godly decisions or biblical decisions. And rock and roll music will cause a person to do that. And not only is there just immorality, fornication, and adultery and things of that nature, but we find that in this music there is much sodomy throughout this, much homosexuality. Queen, Elton John, David Bowie, he died this year. Rod Stewart, Prince, he died this year. All of these, they were involved in sodomy, and hundreds of others. They were open about it, even Mick Jagger. And even Willie Nelson, in a country song, he talked about a gay cowboy. I mean, it don't matter where it's country, it's CCM, the sodomites are full of the CCM music and whatever, or the rock and roll. We find the immorality is everywhere. Listen to this. The fruit of the 60s. America had a very large and very young population. Forsaking Christianity, embracing Eastern religions, drugs, immorality, and a cultural revolution. Crime increased 995%. Suicide over 400%. Unmarried couples living together increased 536%. Pregnancy in ages 10 to 14 increased 523%. Sexually transmitted disease increased 200%. Divorce rate increased 111%, I believe. And again, this is why I go back to the 50s and 60s and 70s, because the foundation is laid for everything, the modern music that's played on the radio and television today. That's the foundation, and that's where the beat has come from. It's back there. It's laid then. Now notice in our text as we read 1 Corinthians, and we're reading from verse 9. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." He said, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he describes those who are saved and have come out of some of these things. They're washed, they're sanctified, and they're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God in verse 11. But notice there's a list of immoral things, from idolatry, adultery, effeminate, abuser of themselves with mankind, all of these things, covetous, drunkenness, all of these things. And he says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is why I say that those who are in the rock and roll industry, they are not following Christ. They're lost, and they're on their way to hell, those that promote this music. Well, notice in Revelation chapter 9, and let me read verse 20 and 21 of this chapter. The next thing is drugs. Testimonies, again, of rock musicians. Just about all of them admit that they like drugs. They were involved in drugs and alcohol, from John Lennon, all of the Beatles, Mick Jagger, all the way down to the time in which we live now in the music today. Why do you think they wear glasses when the sun is not out? Shade sunglasses. You see them, they wear them in the dark, and they... Amen. They either want to look cool or they're high on drugs, one or the other. Time magazine reviewed one of the Beatles' albums called Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club Band and said it was literally drenched in drugs. And so we find that the drug scene, and I have a list of those who have committed suicide, rock and rollers. I have a list of those who have died from drug overdose. Many of them. All the way back in the 50s and 60s, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Keith Moon, Elvis Presley. He died. Drugs. And so we see that drugs is an issue. And then the occult we're going to read about. In the two verses we're going to read, it basically covers many things, but the occult and immorality and materialism. These are the three things that we see in the rock and roll industry. And also rebellion. So we find immorality. These are the major things I'm focusing in on. Immorality, drugs, the occult, that is Satan worship, and then rebellion. Rebellion against authority. That's what Samuel talks about. 1 Samuel 15:22. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And so there's that rebellion. The spirit of rebellion is in the rock and roll music. It is in there, and that is clear. It is violent. Again, many has been hurt through this music. And those going into war and whatever, they love it. And it has divided. It divided in the 50s and 60s. It divided young people from their parents. Up until that time, most people sang or listened to the same type of music in general. And so it divided young people, and I'm telling you, it brought about a generation gap. It helped create a generation gap, and I think it was in the 50s is where we got the word teenager was invented. In Scripture and time before, it's youth and adult, okay? You come from childhood and youth, and you grow into adulthood. You understand that transition? Isn't that kind of smooth? You come from childhood and youth, and you grow into adulthood. That's what's expected. But in the 50s and 60s, and through helping with the this music, you've got a gap in here. Now you've got teenagers. You got childhood and youth. You got adulthood over here, and in the middle, you got a whole new deal now going on, a whole new cultural group, and that is teenagers. They have their own music, their own dress, their own hairstyle, their own belief system, and things of that nature. This started in the 50s and the 60s. Now, notice with me as we come to Revelation chapter 9. And I'm going to be reading in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20, and in verse 21. Let me go ahead and make mention of two other things while I'm on this, because I don't want to forget this. Woodstock, and I know that's been a long time ago, August 1969, you had a 500,000 people. There's more than that, but that's all that could get in. 500,000 people in August 1969 came to a music festival in New York State, 3-day event in White Lake, New York, on a farm, and there were rock stars from all over the country that came there. The scene, now listen to this, the scene was vile, filthy, drugs, alcohol, nudity, immorality, and even violence. There were violent, all these things took place there. And when I think about rock and roll music, I think about Luke 16:15, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We're talking about something that took over our country, and it's never changed. Not that our country was wonderful before, but it took over and it is here to stay. We're talking about nearly 70 years. And again, if you go into country music, CCM music, Southern God, you've got rock, beat, and rhythm in all of these other types of music. And this is where dancing came from. We find that you can find a holy dance in the Bible. You can find it in Ecclesiastes and Psalms and Samuel and Luke and Exodus and places like that. We got a sermon on it and an article if you want the references. And there's a biblical dance which was a religious act. And it's not men and women getting out in front of people wiggling around. It was excitement in worship. It is not dance teams either in churches. There's a biblical dance. David performed a biblical dance. And you've heard me talk about this before. We've preached on it, we've written on it, and so forth. Rock and roll and dancing go hand in hand. There's also an unbiblical dance, and that is men and women together in public dancing in front of other people. And it's rooted in sexuality, men and women with body contact, and so forth. It does not honor God. It does not glorify God. And the Bible said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 2, learn not the way of the heathen. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19, when they corrupted themselves, there was immorality there. And the golden calf, it said they were dancing. And then in Matthew chapter 14, I believe it's verse 6, 7, somewhere in there, we find that a preacher lost his life because of a dance. Because Herodias' daughter got up and danced before Herod, and the preacher lost his head, lost his life because of this dance that was liked so much. It was done in public in front of someone, of other people. And so I'm saying to you, the dance is connected with rock and roll and other styles of music. Even Mick Jagger said all dancing is a replacement for sex. I mean, that's what he said. All right, now notice with me as we come here to our text, and I'm going to be reading this, and we will move on. He says here in verse 20 and 21, he said, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not." Now I'm focusing upon the repented not. "They repented not of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." We find here again occultism, immorality, and materialism here in all one text. And the word sorceries, we get our word from the Greek word, get our word pharmacy. In other words, it has a connection with drugs and things of that nature. All right, turn with me to John chapter 8. In the book of John, in chapter 8. Now, I made mention of the occult and satanic worship. All right, coming back now to Aleister Crowley. He was called the great beast, ran out of Italy, called the wickedest man on earth. He was a Satanist, occultist, homosexual, murderer, drug addict, and was involved in magic. He claimed that Satan possessed him and wrote a book called The Book of the Law. And he said the family was public enemy number one. And he plays a key role in the lives of most rock and rolls. I sat down about 7 years ago and wrote out of the list of all the rock and rollers that give him credit or quote him or use his words. One writer even named a song by his name. He was a very wicked man. He's the patron saint of rock and roll. He's called the father of modern Satanism. He's called the father of the New Age movement. And here was his most famous teachings. He says, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." This became the philosophy of the 60s revolution and drugs and sexual perversion and the opposition to Christ. In other words, do your own thing if it feels good. That was the philosophy of the rock and rollers. It came from this wicked man that was born in 1875 and died in 1947. That was a Satanist and a sodomite involved in the occult. He admitted to sacrificing children. His home was on Loch Ness in Scotland. And again, this is the one that Jimmy Page had bought and that lives in, I guess, to this day. He began torturing animals at 12 years of age. And he cursed Christianity. He said, "Lucifer is my own guardian angel and the devil Satan." And again, this is the rock and rollers. This is who they praise. And we find that his picture, and I preached on this 7 years ago, his picture is on the cover of a Sgt. Pepper's album by the Beatles. His picture is on the front page of that. He said, "I bind my blood in Satan's hand, all this that lieth between my hands to thee, the beast, and thy control. I pledge my body, mind, and soul." He's doing this to Satan. And he says this, he said, "The doctrines of Jesus have degraded the world to its present condition. I take it that Christianity is not only the cause, but the symptom of slavery." And when he died, December 11, 1947, his last words as he passed into a coma were, "I am perplexed." One of the most wickedest men that have ever walked on the face of this earth. And David Bowie, that died this year, in the Rolling Stone magazine, he said this years ago. He said, "Rock has always been the devil's music." Now, this is one that played it till the day he died. He was a sodomite. He was in the occult. And he said, "Rock music has always been the devil's music. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves." Admitting this. Another writer, he says, Frank Zappa, he said, "I'm the devil's advocate. We have our own worshipers who are called groupies. Girls will give their bodies to musicians as you would give a sacrifice to a god." Again, I'm not going to quote this. This is Metallica. I got the words to one of their songs. And another one of their songs in the cover song, "The Prince," and it opens like this. It says, "Angels from below, I wish to sell my soul. Devil, take my soul. With diamonds you repay. I don't care for heaven, so don't you look for me to cry. And I will burn in hell from the day I die." And I got just Carlos Santana admits that he was possessed with the devil. Twisted Sister, you know, I don't have to quote them. Bon Jovi, just hundreds of these quotes whereby they admitted that they were involved in the occult and they were Satan worshipers, and many have gotten on stage and dedicated their songs to Satan. And even when they give out the rewards, there was one group here not too many years ago got up and said, first of all, as they were given the rewards, they said, first of all, we want to thank Satan. This is rock and roll. And when I talked about the spirit of sodomy, Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen. Think about a group naming themselves Queen. And again, I mentioned that song, "We're the Champions." How do you sing that? How do you promote that if you have a love for God? But when he died, after he died, it's a very small funeral. But after he died, 5 months later, there were 72,000 fans gathered for a memorial, and it was called the Concert for Life and featured Elton John, David Bowie, Annie Lennox, Axl Rose, that is Guns N' Roses, and other immoral Antichrist rock stars. And it is estimated that 1 billion people viewed the event on television worldwide. And I've only given you this morning the things that I can give you. There's things I would never, there's already one word I've said from the pulpit I don't like to use. And they're just, you can't quote them. When you read and see what they've said and think, you can't quote them. They are songs that you can't quote the words of the songs in public. ZZ Top is one of them. Again, they look like they're dead, but they're still singing. I wouldn't even quote some of the titles of their songs. So number three, the freedom from rock and roll. Notice with me as we come to John chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from verse 31, very familiar passage, okay, in this text. And we're going to read here and turn to Matthew 7, and we're going to close. But in verse 31, he said, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, even the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now they debated with him. They said, we've never been in bondage. They were in bondage at that day. And they were in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to their to apostate Judaism. They're in bondage to the Roman government at this very time. So they debate and argue with him. And here's what he said. He said in verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. There's the freedom. The freedom is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom is in Christ. Again, rock music is addictive and it's enslaving. No one will admit it, you know, especially somebody who professes Christ, but it is a religion. It is a religion where people worship at the altar of rock music. So the only way to be free from sin and self and Satan, which is all in rock and roll music, is that we must turn to Christ. Now, notice again verse 32 and verse 36 before we turn to Matthew, and let me give you these verses. John 15, verse 18 through 21, the Lord Jesus speaks of the world and the bondage that the world has. And he said, I'll leave you in the world. But he said, you're not of the world. He said, the world hated me and they'll hate you. In John 17, verse 14 through 17, he pretty much says the same thing. In 1 John 2, verse 15, 16, 17, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In James chapter 1, verse 27, keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James 4 and verse 4, you can't love God and love the world. It's impossible. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world. You know the story, but be ye transformed. And so we find that the world loves the rock and roll music. And they honor them, just like Freddie Mercury of the Queen. It's 70,000, 5 months after he died, coming to an event. Led Zeppelin was honored not all that many years ago by the president and thousands of others. They were honored. They're Satanists. They're wicked. They have destroyed the morals of this country, and they're honored. David Bowie died here months ago, and then after his death, he was honored. Thousands. Prince died this year, and people grieving all over America because of his death. When Michael Jackson had died some years back, you thought the end of the world had come. If you read anything in the paper anywhere, it was just everywhere. See, the world honors their own, and they hate Jesus Christ, and they hate you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you one last quote, okay? You want to write this down. And this is from Robert Reed, okay? And this quote is this. I thought of this when I was preparing this sermon. Now, but anyway, rock music will keep you from Christ, and Christ will keep you from rock music. Is that good? That's simple, isn't it? Rock music will keep you from Christ. It kept me from Christ for the first 19 years of my life, but then Christ will keep you from rock music. Now, you can write that quote down. And that's original. Notice with me in the book of Matthew in chapter 7, we will close here in this passage. Other verses, by the way, is Daniel 3, verses 1 through 7, where that they were commanded to bow down to the music and worship the golden image. And they had all kind of instruments and whatever. And when they heard the music, they were to bow down. And we know there were some that would not bow. There are many bowing to the rock and roll music today, even in churches. And then in Exodus chapter 32, I mentioned a moment ago, verse 17 through 19, the golden calf. When Moses and Joshua was coming off the mountain, Joshua said, I hear the sound of war. That's what rock and roll music sounds like, the sound of war. And there was the sound of war, there's idolatry, nudity, dancing, and the Bible says they corrupted themselves. They corrupted themselves. In Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be reading from verse 13. And I would like to give you also 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Come out from among them, be ye separate, cleanse yourself from all filthiness, flesh and spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Colossians 3, 11, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Though singing involves planting the word of God in our hearts, and singing teaches and admonishes. Bible speaks of the song of the drunkard, the song of the fools. And people say, well, that's my opinion. I think this stuff is okay. An opinion is a decision without facts. It's a decision without facts. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I told my wife, one of the reasons I'm preaching this, I don't believe anybody out here needs it. I really believe that in my heart, that nobody needs it. But I'm showing you why that people aren't responding to us as we witness to them and try to get them in a Bible-believing church. I'm down yesterday handing out tracts and, you know, talking with people. And I'm telling you, this is not the only thing, but this is the part of the reason that people are not listening to us. When you take Hollywood and then you add the alcohol, the drugs, and then you take the music and you put the public school system and you put all this stuff together, I mean, we've got something to fight against. And we're contending with that is robbing the minds of individuals today and has been, began in my generation and has come through into some of your generation. Notice in verse 15, beware of, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's a straight way, there's a narrow path, and there's a broad way that one leads to destruction, one leads to life. And here's something else. I'm not going to read the whole context, because in our context, in verse 13 through verse 29, there's two ways. There's the right way and the wrong way. There's two types of fruit, good fruit and bad fruit. And then there's two foundations. There's a good foundation built upon the rock, and there's a bad foundation that's built upon the sand. When the storms come, the one upon the stand crumbles. But let me close with verse 20. You're familiar with this, but let me close with this. And again, if there's any question to anything that's said here today, all you got to do is not listen to some Christian preacher or whatever. All you got to do is go and ask them. Look at the titles and the lyrics of their songs and listen to their quotes, things that has been written down, and they'll tell you everything that I'm telling you right now. Well, he says in verse 20, he said, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Is that not true? By their fruits. He's talking about false apostles in the context, but this is true. By their fruits you shall know them. They tell us what they believe, and they act it out in their life, in their behavior. In other words, rock and roll music was birthed out of hell. It is satanic. It is immoral. It promotes rebellion, and it promoted rebellion in the homes between the young people and the parents back in the 50s and 60s that still goes today. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your kindness and love and mercy to us. And I pray, Lord, that this message will help us as we minister to others, as we look into their eyes and try to tell them about truth and biblical principles, that will help us to see one of the things, one of the many things that is robbing their soul and their spirit. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.